Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 33. Jeremiah, chapter 33, and I am excited about tonight's lesson. I want to help you. I am going to, tonight, address something. It's going to be a little touchy. If you'll listen to me all the way through before you form an opinion, I think I can help you. Some of you may have a prefabricated opinion, but let's let the Word of God show us what it says before we decide what we think it says. Jeremiah chapter 33, we're going to read three verses together here. The Bible says in verse number 1, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying..." Now I want you to know something. The Bible says the word of the Lord came unto him. Amen. These aren't Jeremiah's words. These are God's words. Verse 2. "Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name." Watch this. "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Now, look at me. Jeremiah is in prison. He's in a bad situation, and the Bible says that the word of the Lord came unto him. God personally came and spoke to him verbally, and verse 2 says, "The Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed thee and established it, the Lord is his name." He said, he spoke to me and said, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Now, I wonder how many times God has answered our prayers, but we have failed to see the answer to prayer. Notice God says, "Call, I will answer and show thee." It doesn't say you're always going to see that answer the way you think you did. You see, Jeremiah had no idea what God could do, but God did. He said, "Jeremiah, what you want? I want you to ask me, because I can show you things you don't even know about yet." He said, "Call unto me, pray unto me, and I will answer you." You say, why? Because he had followed all the steps that we talked last week about 2 Chronicles 7:14. He had spent time fellowshipping with his God. This was a man of God spending time with God. He was close to God. He said, "Call, I will answer thee, and then I'll show you things." I wonder how many times that God has answered you, but you did not see the answer to prayer. I wonder how many times God has gotten blamed for not answering your prayer, and he answered you, but you did not have the spiritual eyes to see the answer to prayer he gave you. I wonder if sometimes our inability to see the answer is the problem. It's not God answering. Everybody doing okay? All right, hang in there. How many people have quit praying and thought God did not hear them? When God answered them, they just could not see the answer to what they were asking for. In reality, God gave the answer, but you couldn't see it. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. I have, I think, used this passage. If not, someday I will. 2 Kings chapter 6, look at verse number 12. There's a story here of a man named Elijah. Elijah is being used by God. Elijah is, for lack of better terminology, Elijah's an ornery Baptist preacher that was causing everybody's grief that were trying to attack the people of God, especially the Syrians. Notice Syria was causing troubles all the way back then too. The Muslims were bothering them. And I'm not saying the Muslims are, well, the Syrians were bothering them. And it seemed like as they tried to attack God's people, God showed Elijah what was going on. And he said to the people, "They're going to be here. You go over here. God's telling me what they're doing before they do it." And the Syrians were getting pretty ticked off. There was a man who spied the Jews, found out that God was showing Elijah what was going on, went back to the Syrian army and said, "It's one man. They call him a preacher. His name is Elijah. You get rid of him. They'll quit knowing what's going on because his God's showing him what we're doing before we do it." This is where we pick up the story. They came against him. They brought the entire Syrian army against Elijah. He has a young servant with him. Let's pick up in verse number 12. "And one of his servants says, 'None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber.' And he said, 'Go spy where he is, that I may send him and fetch him.' And it was told him, saying, 'Behold, he is in Dothan.' Therefore sent he hither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed about the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early, gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, 'Alas, my master, how shall we do?' And he answered, 'Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them.' And Elisha prayed and said, 'Lord, I pray thee,'" watch this, "'open his eyes that he may see.' And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha." Now look at me. Elisha had prayed. He knew God would deliver. This young servant of his gets up early in the morning. He goes out and looks out and says, "Uh-oh." How would you like to be staying with the man of God, get up early in the morning, go out, and find out that the entire military was pointed right at you? That's what he faced. He went back in and said, "Preacher, we got a problem." He said, "What's the problem?" He said, "They got the whole army out there and it's pointed right at us. What are we going to do?" And Elisha just simply said, "God," he said, "those that are with us are more than those that are with them." He's looking around. He said, "It's just you and me. Who you got that I don't see?" And he said, and Elisha looked up and said, "God, would you open the eyes of the young man that he might see?" And God lifted back the veil off of the young man's eyes, and he looked, and the heavenly host with horses and chariots was behind him. He said, "Let's go get him." Now, the answer was there, but he could not see it. It took somebody helping him see the answer to his problem before he could get there. Now, many Christians are like that young man who have needs, fears, questions. And they can't see the answer. They ask and ask and pray and ask, and the answer's been given. They called, God answered, but they don't have the spiritual perception. They don't have the spiritual vision to see the answer that's before them. It's amazing how many times answers are there. We just can't see the answers. It's amazing. Tonight I want to teach you how to see more of the answers to your prayers. Seeing more answers to prayer. Point number one. We need to pray and God will hear us. Folks, God will not answer you if you do not ask him. He has the problem fixed. He has the solution to the problem before you ask. But he's not going to jump in and fix it without your asking, generally. By the way, I said this last week. I was a little surprised at the looks on some of your faces and some of the response I got. I'll say it again. God will only hear his own children. He really does. I know that's contrary to what the world teaches. But God does not listen to the prayer of the lost, except, "God save me." And I'm not going to go into a long theological discussion, but if you go to John 17, you'll find that that's quite true in other scriptures I showed you last week. God will not answer if we don't ask, even if he has the answer. You say, why? Because God doesn't want to force himself on anybody. Do you know that God will not force himself on anybody? Don't you think God has the ability to come down and force everybody to get saved? But he doesn't. Don't you think God has the ability to come down and force you to live right? God is not a dictator. God does not make people and force them to live his way. He wants them to live by his words because they love him, not because they're forced to. Boy, that's a good statement. Let me say it this way. Everybody likes to be needed. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Husbands, your wife needs to feel needed by you, other than to pick up your clothes and cook your food. She needs to be emotionally needed by you. Ladies, your husband wants you to need him for more than just a paycheck. Now, wait a minute. It goes both ways. Children, mom and dad want you to need them. It's real easy when you can't do anything on your own, but the older you get and the more you want to do on your own, the harder it is on your mom and dad because they still want to be needed. Now, hang in there. Can I tell you something? God wants to be needed. Do you know that God wants to be needed? He wants you to need him. That's why he said, I'll supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But he wants you to need him. That means you need to take time to call on God, spend time with him, and quit yelling at him, quit shouting at him, and wondering why he won't listen to you. Listen to me, if the only time you need him is in an emergency, his phone number is not 911. God is not the 911 dispatch. God is not City National Bank for you to go to and say, okay, I need a loan, I can't pay back. But I have a need. Okay? But I want to be needed. That's what he says. Keep the relationship open between you and your God. Jeremiah did this. He was talking to God. God was talking to him. Can I tell you something? If you'll put yourself in a position of being needy before you're needy, when the time comes, the relationship's already built. Keep the relationship warm and close. There's four ways God will answer you. He'll answer you yes. He'll answer you no. He'll answer you not now. And sometimes he won't use words. He'll just point you to the answer. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Did you ever, when you were growing up, you asked your mom or asked dad for something and asked him and asked him the same question over and over? And did you ever have one of them just look at you and then go, like, I've told you before, you know what it is, just go do it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? there's times God gets tired of answering you and you not paying attention. He's just going to look. Say, where's he look? Right there. Let me ask you a question. How many prayers do you ask that could be found in that book? God will not answer you contrary to his word. Now, I'm going to get into something here that some of you might not like, so get mad at me before I get there, amen? Number next. God sometimes answers, and we don't spend enough close time with him to see the answer. Okay. There's a man in our church some time ago asked me a question, asked my advice about something, and I said, I think it's a good idea, but I'd be careful. I said, I'd be cautious. I'd check this out. That's all I said. I didn't feel like it was my right to infringe in that area and say, you're about to screw up, dude. I didn't think it was that bad. But I knew there was weaknesses in something he was looking at. And without being negative, I said, just be careful. Just be careful. They did it. By the way, nothing sinful, nothing wrong. But after a little bit of time, they came back and said, I'm having troubles with this. I said, I thought you might. Do you remember when I said, be careful? Oh, they said, preacher, next time, just tell it to me straight. Well, we hadn't been as close relationship-wise to where I felt I could do that months and months and months before then. That relationship's close enough now, I think I could. But it wasn't close enough to where I'm sure I wouldn't hurt the relationship by doing it. Everybody understand that?
Yes, sir.
So as you build a closer relationship with God, he can be a little bit more pointed with you. Those of you that have grown children, and some of you might have grown children that you're close to, and in the same family, some children you're not close to. There's no relationship, or not much of a relationship. You know you can say more to the one you're closer to than you can to the one that you're not close to. You have to watch your mouth around the other one. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You say, why? Because they can't handle it because the relationship's not that close. Boy, that's good stuff. Now, this is where you'll get mad at me. Thank you. We trust our feelings as answers to prayer. And feelings never should be trusted. God does not work by your feelings. He works through his word. Say, well, my heart says I should do this. My Bible says your heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Well, I feel, Brother Bush, I should do this. How many of you had your heart broken by someone, your first love? Raise your hand if you're over the age of 18. Yeah, come on. Leslie, I know you did because you still married him anyway. I was helping you, Brother Hawkins, amen. I shot over your head that time. Now, wait a minute. Now, you thought for sure, I remember hearing my dad just a couple weeks ago or recently said, fell in love with third or fourth grade teacher or something. She broke his heart when she got married. Now, wait a minute. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Those feelings were real, weren't they? No, they were, but they weren't. You can't trust those feelings. There's times I feel like eating a whole lot of food. Did you ever put more food on your plate than you could get down the pie hole? Some of you men, nope. Yeah, you have. Man, there's times I felt like I'd eat a whole lot more than I... Well, now it's I don't eat what I feel like eating. Now, wait a minute. You cannot trust your feelings as answers to prayer. Just because the hair raised up on the back of your neck doesn't mean God was talking to you.
Right. Yes, sir.
Could be that the wind blew down your neck and you got chill bumps. Amen? I'm not going any farther. There's other things and I'm just not going there. But we rely so much on feelings. This is one where some of you are really going to get mad at me. You don't trust dreams.
Amen.
I am so sick and tired in the last 10 years of how many people have told me, well, Brother Bush, I woke up to a dream and this is what I'm supposed to do. God quit doing that when he gave us the word of God. He said, I no longer need to speak to you in dreams and visions. I've given you the written word of God. Follow what it says. The only dream you ought to follow is if you got to go potty, get up and go. Because chances are, that's reality. You all say, I can't believe you said that. I just did. Folks, we trust our dreams. Well, I had a dream that I'm supposed to go start a missions work. I think I'd get a hold of the word of God and God before I trust a dream. I know a lot of mama called papa sent people on dreams that didn't make anything and hurt more people than they helped. You say, what was my dream? It's because you've been thinking about it so much, your mind's reprogramming itself, and it's going to, because you've thought about it so much, you're bringing it up. God didn't bring it up, you did. Is all a dream is it's like defragmenting your computer. Okay? You run a little thing on your computer that says defrag. It takes all the information that's been scrambled all over the place and categorizes it and puts it back together in neat piles, puts it together so that you got more space. Your mind does that every night. You say, well, then why did I think about it? Because you've been thinking about it during the day. That's all it is. Okay, moving on. Number C. This one is the Baptist curse to me. We're trusting situations as answers to prayer. I feel led. That's charismatic. That's Pentecostal. That's not God. I always tell people, well, I feel led. Show me in the Word of God. That will lead you. Well, things are just lining up this way. Don't you think the devil can line things up? I am so sick and tired of people saying, well, as long as the door opens, I'll keep going. Don't you think the devil can open a door too? He imitates Christ. He is your adversary. Don't you think the devil wants you to follow his way, not God's? Well, my dog ate a cat and it barfed, so it must be okay. I have people give me things like that. I'm like, okay, whoa. That's how silly people make decisions, saying, that's the will of God for my life. Folks, 99% of the will of God is right there. Amen. I watch so many people screw their life up trying to find the 1% that's not in there that they avoid 99% of what they're supposed to do. I'm not kidding. You know, I think God would forgive you for going soul winning and joining Grace Baptist Church in Martinsburg, West Virginia, if you were supposed to be in Belize. I think people could get saved. I think lives could be changed. And I think doing the what of the will of God is far more important than the where of the will of God. And if you'll do more of the what of the will of God, he's more apt to show you the where.
Yes, sir.
The people that make the decisions based on their feelings, on their emotions, on their dreams, and on their situations are because they're not obeying the what of the will of God. I watch this over and over and over and over and over again. Well, things aren't going so good, so this must not be the will of God. Put Jesus' life out in front of you and find out how much good went right for him. You've been listening to too many Joel Osteens and the rest of these charismatics that tell you, well, if you do everything right, everything will line up and everything will be all peaceful. Yeah, because they don't do the will of God. He's making $40 million a year off of people like that. Okay, moving on. You want to put God through a series of hoops to force him to answer your way. Guess what? God won't jump through your hoop. I'm here to tell you, you have no right to put God through a series of hoops to prove himself. He already proved himself. It's in the Word of God. Say, did you have to prove the will of God before you started Grace Baptist Church? No, he showed me quite well. It was in the Word of God. We knew. We knew it was time. We knew what. We know where. I wasn't looking for it. I wasn't thinking about it. He was. Well, how were you led? By the Word of God. That's it. The lights didn't flash. I didn't wake up in the middle of the night with a vision of a building and a van with my name written on the side. I didn't vision tracks with my picture all over it. You don't understand. I walked into Sheets the other morning. Monday morning, I walked into Sheets. One of the ladies was standing there. I was getting my coffee. She said, some of the ladies from your church knocked on my door this weekend. And the other lady was standing there mopping the floor. She said, they knocked on mine too. They gave me one of those papers. Got your picture on it. And I told them, he comes in almost every day. Now, you ought to go to the store and get that everywhere you go. Sometimes it's not that nice. You don't know whether to duck or pucker. Now, folks, it's okay. That's not something I was envisioning and dreaming about. The first couple months we had gospel tracts, it had my cell number on it. Try that one once. Some of you want to force God through hoops. Well, I'll do this if God does this for me. Well, if God shows me this and God shows me this and God gives me this and God gives me that, then I'll do what God says. No, you obey and do what God says. Let him take care of the rest of it. See, sometimes you're wanting answers to prayer your way. What you're saying is, God, if you don't speak to me through a dream, or you don't speak to my emotion, or you don't speak through some situation, then I can't see the answer to prayer. Elisha's servant didn't say, well, I don't feel led to go out there and fight all those people. Elisha said, God opened his eyes that he might see. We're going to sign the contract for 3 years on this building, thank God, on Friday. We have been through thick and thin on this thing. We had one major curveball thrown at us here a couple weeks ago. Thought we were there, and then all of a sudden, whew. Well, I learned a long time ago, because I was a curveball pitcher. Curveball pitchers generally make good curveball hitters. First rule about hitting a curveball, slow your swing down. You can't throw a 95 mile an hour curveball. So you've got to wait on the pitch. Then you got to read the rotation. Everything this curveball did is all it did was help us. It didn't hurt us. It just took a little longer to hit it. Now wait a minute. It gave us more of what we needed. It protected us in a much better way. And God answered our prayer through a very unusual situation. Now, number three. This is the whole sermon, and I'll finish. We need spiritual eyes to see answers to prayer at times. You know, there are some times when you say, God, I have got to have $100 because I need this. And it's real obvious when the $100 comes in. There's other times you say, God, I need this. I can see how you're going to do this. And then just watch God work. But sometimes God's answered it and you didn't see it. Let me show you what I mean. I know people that have asked God for money. God gave them the opportunity to be employed. They passed it up because they were praying for God to give them the cash instead of the job. Sometimes God answers you with employment to pay your bill, not just with the money in the mail. I don't know about you. I'm willing to work for it. God's not the welfare card. Okay, moving on. When I say you need spiritual eyes to see things, I'm not talking about spooky vision to see what's not there. Some of these televangelist people are weird. I think they take psycho drugs. Oh, I have a vision. This person in this city has some, they got a goiter in their gizzard. Good night. You say, what is that? That's a carnival show. That's not God. They don't have a vision. There used to be a TV preacher a long time ago. I don't even remember which one it was. Put your hands on the back of the TV set. And you'll feel God's power. Yeah, you're going to feel power, but it ain't God's power. You'll feel the hair on the back of your head raise up. Yeah, it's called static electricity, amen? A bunch of dumb people sending the guy money because they felt the power. You send me seed money. You send me money and God will give you more because God's going to use that like seed. And he'll replace it 100-fold. Yeah, he's going to replace yours 100-fold, but not theirs. We need to bathe our lives in the Word of God. Years ago, I was teaching at Bible college. A young man came by my office one day after church and he said, "Brother Bush, if someday you had to choose between prayer and the Word of God, you had to only be able to do one, what would it be?" I said, "Hands down, no question, get rid of prayer, read the Bible." He said, "Don't you want time to think?" I said, "Already have, don't need it." He said, "You're one of the few people that have even come close to mentioning it that way." Ooh. Now that's a big bug. That one goes sting. He's been smitten by the Word of God. That was a hornet. Yeah, buddy, I got bit by one of them in the ear a couple weeks ago. I ain't getting that again, amen? I squished him with the Word of God, amen? Like a hammer. Now, this young man, look, I'm not kidding, man, it's right there. Glad I was preaching, living right or something would have bit me, amen? Woo, we'd have gotten the Spirit. I failed it. This young man said, "Brother Bush, why were you so quick to answer that?" I said, "That's easy. Prayer is me talking to God. The Bible is God talking to me, and what he has to say is far more important than what I have to say to him. I'd rather find out what he says than for him to know what I need, because he already knows my needs." I said, "I don't even have to think about that question." Now, I believe in prayer. I believe in talking to God, but I believe in bathing my life in the Word of God. You say, why? Because most of the problem of me not seeing the answer to prayer is I haven't been in that book enough to find out what the answer is. Y'all doing okay? Say, how do you know? Jeremiah, the Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord." Guess what God thus saith to man? The Word of God. Folks, we need to obey the Bible. The more you read it, the more you obey it, the more God will show you the answers to the prayer that you have. I promise you. Some people disregard 99% of the will of God because they don't understand one thing in their life. "I got this one problem and God's never answered me on it." It's in the book. If you do the other 99%, maybe you'd find the answer to it. If you got a 99 on a test, most of you did, but it was 99% wrong. But if you got 99% on a test, guess what? That's a pretty good grade. I think God would forgive you the 1%, don't you? Why don't we get busy doing the 99% we do know and not worry as much about that 1% we don't know? And I will say this, God cannot, God will not, and God will never answer contrary to his word. Never. God will never give you an answer to prayer that goes against that book. Never. Say why? Because he would lose his justice, his holiness, his righteousness, and his integrity. Guess what? God's not losing any of it. Now, you may need help from God's man to see the answer to prayer. I am not lifting myself up. I will show you what Scripture says, though. We as preachers spend more time in that book and in spiritual battle than you do. You realize I have spent 25 years of my life doing full-time what I do right now? I've been in the battle. I've been in the book. I've been doing battle. I've been through this over and over and over and over and over and over again. I'm supposed to spend more time in the Bible than you do. I'm supposed to spend more time praying than you do. I'm supposed to be doing the spiritual things. Guess what? I live my life in the spiritual world. If you have a tire question, don't ask me. Ask Brother Rogers. Not at church. But you say, why? Because he lives his whole life dealing in tires. It's just the way it is. You got an electrical question, don't ask me. Say, why? I'm colorblind. Don't touch it. Don't buy it. Don't go near it. Amen? But we got half a dozen electricians in our church. They could tell you the answer to the problem. Say, why? They live their life in electrical. He lives his life in tires. I live my life in the Word of God. Folks, I live my life in that spiritual world. That does not mean I'm Joe spiritual. It just means that has been my profession. Now listen to this statement. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 9. 1 Samuel chapter 9. Samuel was a prophet. He was a preacher. And God gives him a name in 1 Samuel 9. Look at verse number 9. Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of God, thus he spake, come and let us go to the seer. For he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer. Huh. God says one of the titles for the preacher, the man of God, is that of seer. That means we can see some things that the average person does not see spiritually because of where we live in the spiritual realm of life. By the way, it's not some ooky spooky weirdo tickle feely feeling either. God calls the man of God the seer in 1 Samuel 9:9, 2 Samuel 24:11, 1 Chronicles 26:28, and many, many, many other places. I have people that have told me, well, I just see things very well spiritually. And they make some of the stupidest decisions I've ever seen in my life. They don't even have a good grip on what they see that is spiritual. I don't understand it all. I've talked to two men this week. Both of them have said, well, one of them this week said, I've known you for a long time, Brother Bush. The last 13 months, I've seen you change. I said, is that a good thing or a bad thing? He said, no, you're different now that you're pastoring. And he said, you see things differently. I said, you're right. Something happens. I had another man say virtually the same thing to me in the last 7 days. And I said, there's something about the office of the man of God where God has to give you that ability. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You need me to have the right answer when you come to me with your problem. You expect me to have the right answer or the ability to find the right answer. Say, why? Because that's what my job is. And that means God's got to give me that little bit of extra that he doesn't give the average person. I had a couple preachers in the last couple weeks say the very same thing. Brother Bush, your ability to see is much different than it used to be. I said, it comes with the territory. And you're right. I do see things differently. You may see well spiritually, but God allows his men better vision and better perspective than anybody else. What you visit several times a week, I live 24 hours a day, 365. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Folks, I'm giving you in 40, 45 minutes one Bible study that has taken me 30 years. Oh, the outline didn't take 30 years, but it's taken 30 years of living. Everybody doing okay? I've been doing this full time for 25 years. Guess what? There's been a lot put into this. Elijah, the man of God, saw what the servant could not see. As an assistant pastor, I did not see what I see as pastor. I'll be the first one to tell you that. But I had enough training, I had enough leadership as an assistant pastor that I saw more than the average assistant pastor, but I worked for men that were great seers. And they taught me how to, when the time came, see. Everybody doing okay? There are times in your life where you're going to need a man of God. You say, but I don't see it. Do you think that Elisha's servant thought that Elisha was nuts when he said, those that are with us is more than with them? And he looks around the house saying, where? Yeah, right. How's this going to work? This is my life on the line, not just yours. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And all of a sudden God said, okay, Elisha, God, he doesn't see it. I can see it because I've spent time with you. Would you show him? Would you calm him down for me? It'll be okay. He said, son, look that way. Shazam. Where'd all that come from? I wonder how many times God has answered your prayer, but you did not see the answer to prayer. Remember about 10 months ago, we were looking for a place. Man, we thought we'd find a place down off Tabler Station. I thought, man, here it is. I went, looked at it. I got some of you men to go look at it. I got some other people to go look at it. Thought we had it all worked out. I had people to get the work done. We were ready to go. And they put it off. And they put it off. And they put it off. The people that were in the building that were supposed to leave are still in that stupid building. Oh, I was disappointed. Then the mall started to open up. Thought, man, we got plenty of room. We got all the parking we could ever want. And I don't have to take care of the snow removal. We had it all worked out. Came time within a week of signing papers, and the lawyers for the mall called and said, uh-uh. Ooh, dirty bric-a-brac pack, slaughter rip. I had Mrs. Eckert and others working on curtains to cover all the glass that was in there. We were going to spend thousands of dollars on covering windows. I thought, oh, God, are you not hearing what's going on here? I mean, I show up to a stupid hotel, and they say, you got bumped. No, I didn't. Somebody else is about to get bumped, but I didn't get bumped. No, you don't understand. I got people coming now. What are you going to do about it? I mean, we were fighting everywhere trying to get into rooms. I said, I've been on that schedule for over 6 weeks. Trust me. Go back and look. Call so-and-so right now. Well, I don't know if I can. Oh, I can. Here we go. You don't know what we went through. Wait a minute. I kept thinking, God, what's going on? Call unto me. I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. Do you know that everybody knows where this building is? It is amazing to me how many people know where this building is. I don't go anywhere without somebody knowing where this building is. Say why? just because he showed us things that we couldn't know. We followed what he said do. He gave us what we could not see. Now, again, we may not purchase this building, but we may. We don't know yet. Too soon to tell. I do know that we can rent it for the next 3 years and grow. Amen. That's all I'm worried about right now. We'll find out what he wants and where he wants as long as we do what he wants. Everybody okay with that? So, are you locking us in to purchase that building? No, I'm leaving the availability open in case we get to. But I don't know about you, knowing we got another 3 years in this building, potentially five, we can go up to 5 years with no problem, that's pretty good set in the stone. We're going to get foundation built and everything else, and then we'll know what we're supposed to do. It'll be okay. Say, are you sure? Yep. Positive. Say how? Because we've tested it with that book right there. Well, is this the exact location that God wants for you right now? Yes. And guess what? If he wanted us across the street and we weren't there, I think if we're still seeing hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people saved every year, I think God would forgive me. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Some of you are so worried about where we put what stick of furniture and what piece of wood and what piece of this and what piece of that. I'm more worried about reaching people, doing it God's way. Let him worry about the rest of it. Lock in tight. Here we go. Call unto me. I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You might not be able to see it. You might need to get help. By the way, if they don't line up with that book right there, don't get their help. Amen. They're not going to give you good answers if they're not lined up with the guy that wrote the book to give them the right answer. Well, I went to so-and-so and they said, and they don't even use the same Bible. Hello. They don't believe in soul winning? They don't believe in keeping people out of hell? What's going on with that mess? And you want to trust that? Okay. Call unto me. I will answer you. And I'll show you. Sometimes you can't always see the answer. By the way, sometimes I can't see it either, just so you know. Say, what do you do? I keep going to the last command, wait till I do see it. I don't trust my emotions. I don't trust my feelings. I don't trust how things are lining up. Well, the stars have aligned and everything could be, you know, Twilight Zone. Doo-doo-doo-doo. Folks, Christianity's not spooky. God's will's not some spooky, unrevealed, hidden thing, some mystery that he doesn't want you to figure out real easily. Why in the world would God not want to show you his will? Why do we think that God wants us to go through all this hard stuff just to find out what he wants? Sounds like penance from the Catholic Church to me. You don't put your kids through all that kind of stuff just so they can find out what they're supposed to do. No, you take out the trash. You mow the grass. You make your bed. You wash your hands. You help pick up clothes. You help do this. You keep obeying. We'll show you what you're supposed to do. You make it real clear for them. Guess what? Why would God make it any different for you? You don't put your kids through 3 days of torture to find out that they were supposed to pick up the clothes in their room. Well, I'm just trying to beseech God to make sure this is what I'm supposed to do and where I'm to place this clothing. Put it away! If you don't, it's going outside. You can pick it up yourself. Well, I'm just not feeling real led. I used to be a horrible principal. I'd make sure everybody kept their lockers clean. About once a month, I'd go through and looking at lockers, amen? Some of you all know what I'm talking about. And if it was a pigsty, you know what I did? I threw the whole thing right in the middle of the hallway. I just dumped the whole thing. There'd be about half a dozen lockers, and I mean every paper thrown everywhere. I didn't give a rip. They didn't give a rip. Why should I? Then I'd go back in and say, and I'd do it right before class changeover. Say, why? Because then there's about 60 or 70 people walking on top of it, and if they're late to class, they get demerits. Say, did you give them demerits? Yeah. Say, why? You live like a pig when we told you not to? You're going to pay the price. And there's papers going everywhere. I had some kid that thought he was King Tut. He'd save plastic bottles. He must have had 70 of them jammed in there with all this stuff. They were all over the floor. He had lunches from weeks gone by. They were science projects by then. You say, why'd you do that? I was revealing the will of God for his life. Clean out your locker, you pig. I didn't make him go through 30 hours of, was this the will of God that I should clean out my locker? No, it was the will of Brother Bush. Now get it cleaned up, you pig. God doesn't make you go through all this weird stuff. He gave you a book with everything you need to know. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You don't, well, what are the hidden things? They're revealed in his word. He says that. He'll give you the principles to live by, not the feelings. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder how many times God's answered you, but you just didn't see it. Maybe you've passed by the answer over and over and over and over again and not seen it. Maybe you need to get close enough to him to find out what his answers are.